We're going to take your phone calls and continue chatting this hour with the psychic Anthony Carr. A couple of his works, Stargazer, that he mentioned, of course, and Cairo, Prophet of the End Times, and his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back. We'll take your call soon. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, Anthony Carr as well. And, of course, we will get to your calls. So lots of people are talking about Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush in 2016, Anthony. What do you see there?
Well, in one of my predictions, going back, when did Hillary run? Oh, when she first ran against
that was
Obama?
That was the first time. That was back in 2008 to 2008.
Well, I guess 2-3 years prior to that, I was so convinced she was going to be the first lady president. I actually sent her a book. didn't quite get there, but you know what? I put it in the book this year, and I still say she will be the first lady president.
So you think it's going to happen? 2016 has got to be the time for her, then.
I'm going to take a shot and sticking out my turkey waddle neck, and I'm going to put it on the chopping block, right?
All right. Let me ask you this, too, before we get to some calls here for you, Anthony.
By the way, I love that Stand By Me.
We played it for you.
Well, just if you don't mind there, for your Toronto listeners, and you have an army
we
of
have
them
many.
Here. We are going to be tomorrow night at a large bar called Georgie Porgie's here in Toronto. How's that for unabashed publicity?
You know, I probably will have an event in Toronto this year, and I'm going to make sure the producers contact you to be part of that.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
That'd be fun.
Can I bring my band?
You sure can.
Well, now it'll be the psychic sax player, or the psycho sax, the psycho sax.
I'd love to hear you play. I think that'd be fantastic.
Well, there's some stuff on the site there, and in fact, if you go to that the rave, I call it. It's the 50s band. The page is called the rave.ca, but I call the band Link Belt and the Fabulous Rave. And there's a play at the Hard Rock Cafe. We're on stage there. There's a little bit of footage. That's when I first joined the band about a year and a half ago. So for four or five songs, I'm not on. But the other three fellows, Benny and Darcy and the guitar player, McIsaacs, Neil McIsaacs, are up there. And I come up about four or five songs into it, and we get a little sense of Buddy Holly stuff we're doing at that particular juncture.
Super.
But, boy, I, if you come to town, I'll give you the whole royal treatment. I'll read your palms. I'll read the bumps in your phrenology. I'll do your chart. We'll whip out the tarot cards. And
we'll go to Georgie Porgie's.
I'll tie you to the chair so that you can listen to his play, and I'll ply you with alcohol and wild women. How's that?
No, well, 2 out of 3. Not bad,
okay.
Huh?
How about tame women? That tells me you're happily married.
No, not yet. The Malaysian airplane that we cannot find, I find this to be one of the strangest stories in years.
I'll tell you why. And anytime there's a national disaster like that, you always have psychics stepping forth and venturing a guess. Or in this case, not one. Not all,
no.
None of the world's psychics, not even myself. All I can think of is, the obvious, it disappeared into the depths intact, which doesn't make any sense. Or it's it strikes my fancy, my imagination, it's another Bermuda Triangle. And it's
well,
almost,
yeah.
I almost want to say that not until the return of the great star travelers will the discovery of this mystery be uncovered.
As strange and as bizarre as that is, it's a possibility. What do you think about the possibility that it's been landed somewhere? It's been stolen.
Yeah, I toyed with that too. Honestly, I didn't receive any strong psychic impressions. I just like everyone else, you know, I followed it. Usually, if I catch something out of the corner of my eye, I get a psychic impression or I get a feeling or something.
Right.
But because this story kind of unfolded, we all watched it, the conscious mind intrudes upon the superconscious or the psyche, that which is tuned into the electrical universe. So I didn't receive any impulses like that. But as I said, and I think now, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that they could have been snatched from on high.
You know, you really can't rule it out. So you're getting no impressions at all psychically.
No, I did not receive other.
Is that unusual?
It is. It really is. The other thought was yes, they were you know captured and held for ransom, or they landed on an like Amelia Earhart. Disappeared altogether off the face of the earth. It went down in a part of the. I can't imagine a plane crashing like that and nothing, no debris, and to sink even within the, you get to a certain depth when the prey would implode and stuff would come to the surface. If I'm off on this one, this will be part of the 90% I didn't get.
Well, we'll document it, so we shall see. You ready for some phone calls?
I'm sorry?
You ready for some phone calls?
Oh, sure. I was going to read you that fatal prediction of mine that I couldn't find, which I have just found.
About your own demise? Okay,
well,
let's hear it.
At the beginning of World War III, and as I said, oh my goodness, don't tell me.
Lose it again?
You know what? I think it's unconsciously. I don't want to read.
You don't want to read it. Maybe it's that scary.
What's this? Maybe this is, no, that wouldn't be it either.
Now, wait for
it.
Oh, you got it. All right.
Okay.
This is only live radio, Anthony.
Well, at least I'm honest about it. But, you know, there was a passage from the Bible that always intrigued me about the landing of a huge spacecraft, you know, and that was in Psalm 18. Did I ever talk
no,
to you about this?
No, you did not.
Psalm 18, you know, we're always familiar with the 23rd Psalm, you mm-hmm. know. In my distress, I called upon the Lord for help. And then in brackets I wrote, David is in trouble, so he communicates with his protector, the star traveler, on Mount Sinai. Next statement. From his temple, brackets the UFO, he heard my voice, and I am saved from mine enemies. My interpretation, messages received and understood. Quote again. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. So I got the powerful engines of the spacecraft cause earthquake-like reverberations throughout the immediate area. Then he says, then smoke went up from his nostrils. Would that be emissions from the rocket exhausts? And devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. And I said, maybe the heat from the engines burns the grasses, the shrubs, and kindles the stones in the immediate vicinity. And it becomes so intense as the engines accelerate that small rocks in the vicinity of the thrusting, blasting rockets begin to ignite. Then, he says, he rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He smote mine enemies with arrows of lightning. So what are we talking here? Laser rays from UFOs?
Says,
the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. So the craft rumbled, roared, and accelerated overhead. No wonder David sang the Lord's praises. He would have been a dead duck without him. Then I go on to my prediction. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is from the book of Jeremiah. The time is nigh when I must die, and so, my friends, it's soon goodbye. But ere I go, please don't forget, this evil world must meet its end. Ta-ta, farewell, so long, salute, till Messiah descends from the stars to you. No peace shall there be till the Master begins to winnow these herds, then start o'er again. Let the calling take place, let the sheep herders gather, for only they know for sure what's the matter. And then, maybe then, will we all stand up tall when the sins of this world are purged once and all. And all the inhabitants of the earth shall witness many catastrophes, each one more devastating than the last, which will cause seabeds and continents to interchange, submerging kingdoms to create space for new ones. One catastrophic single day shall hurl to ruin the massive form and fabric of the world, which shall then fall headlong into the void. The whole firmament, that which is the sky and the stars of heaven, shall crash down onto the divine earth. Then shall flow a ceaseless cataract of raging fire that will burn land and sea. The firmament of heaven and the stars and the very creation itself shall meld into one molten mass. Then no more shall there be the twinkling orbs, no night, no dawn, no constant days, no spring, no summer, no winter, no autumn. One single day shall see the burial of all mankind, all that the long forbearance of fortune has produced, all that has been raised to eminence, and all that is famous and beautiful. Great thrones, great nations, all shall descend into the abyss, everything overthrown in just one cosmic hour. The vengeance of the Lord's flames shall burst asunder the very framework of the crust of the earth, until this spinning globe is but a burnt-out piece of cinder hurtling through outer space, and this because the world has become Sodom and Gomorrah itself. In short, we're not going to have very much fun.
I was going to say, interpret that for me. What does this all mean? We're going to get hit by some kind of a catastrophe from space, an asteroid? What is this?
Well, depending on which comes first, and in my last line here, yet for the few there is still hope, redemption, and safety. So, is there hope for the dead, born-again Christians? How about cloned-again Christians? And I think while World War III is raging, again, in Revelation, this is the return of the Lord and his hosts. Well, that could be anything. It could be, again, if God was a star traveler, his army will come, set down, and stop the carnage, and that'll be the end of that. And there'll be no more separate religions as we now know them. It'll just be one to all look and say, well, this is the guy that was, right? And at some point, as we move, the solar system of ours is moving ever closer through the spiral arm that we are in to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're on a collision course, or it's on a collision course with us, one catastrophic asteroid or a meteor. Now, in my predictions, if you have them there, I think my techie kid there, Justin De Silva, who's my right arm.
He's very good, by the way. He's good. He's more organized than you, for crying out loud.
Well, I'm not organized at all. I told you. I'm spatially designed. Well, when it comes to electronics, you know, I still use an old portable non-electric typewriter to write my stories, and I give them to him, and he does, he just types them all into his system. He did my website, my whole thing, and everything you see there, he did it all. And he's only a kid, 26, you know, but he's pretty sharp, you know, he's a real athletic guy, too. Anyway, Justin De Silva, that's his name, I'll give him a plug there. But one or the other, this solar system of ours is moving closer and closer to the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And this is why you're seeing weather changes. This is why you're seeing, these natural disasters, these incredible tsunamis. It's just going to get worse and worse. But, you know, it says in not only the Christian Bible, but the Quran and the Pentateuch or the Mosaic books, that I shall create for you a new heaven and a new earth. Well, I've been predicting for years that there's Earth-like planet. In fact, I think it was in the news last night, another Earth-like planet, just a mere 500 light years away from
us. Right. Just like us. Let's take some calls here, Anthony.
Sure.
And then I've got more questions for you a little bit later about the Book of Revelation. Let's go to Hamilton, Ontario in Canada. Rosemary's with us. Hi, Rosemary.
Good evening, George, and good evening, Anthony. How are you?
Rosemary, I love you.
I used to get sung that all the time.
Well, I like the Louis Prima version. It's, you know, hey, Rosemary, I love you. Hey, anyway, question.
The singing psychic, just what I need.
Hey, can I have that?
Take it.
Sure.
It's all yours.
Gee, great. That's fabulous.
I have a question in regarding to wormwood in the Book of Revelations and with the three blood moons that we're still going to have until 2015. What signs will we be looking for?
I'm sorry. The
Book of Revelation.
Moons, I know. Well, what's the first word you use?
Wormwood.
Wormwood.
Which is an object that in Revelation they call this object, whatever it is, wormwood. Ironically, Chernobyl means wormwood. So I don't know. But what do you think of the Book of Revelation, Anthony?
Well, I think it's quite revealing. Revelation, to me, is the ultimate truth. It's the last word, the beginning and the end, you know, the Alpha and the Omega. I mean, everything that Revelation talks about, as I recall, is all coming to pass exactly. You know, the seven seals and the pestilence and the wars and someone is going to push a button and it's going to let loose one of these nuclear, I guess they would call them smart bombs, and they'll figure we'll just keep it you know in a certain area and blah. But then it'll just let loose, you know. There have been nuclear wars on the Earth before. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, there's no doubt in my mind, were destroyed by nuclear bombs. They've done testing on the sand in the area around there where they figure Sodom and Gomorrah was, and it's exactly the same crystalline type sand, gritty, sandy, glassy type ground or earth as they found in the same areas where they dropped the bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
All right, next up, we go to Matt in Orlando, Florida. Hey, Matt, go ahead.
Did I answer the question?
Hey, George, Anthony. Great honor, George, to talk to you, my friend.
You're welcome. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. What I would like to ask you guys about, and I know if I'm changing the subject too much here, but when I watch TV nowadays, I see shows like Hangar One, Alien Mysteries, Close Encounters, Ancient Aliens, Unsealed Alien Files, The Unexplained Files, Declassified, etc. And I wonder if you guys think if the government is behind this, trying to ease the public into the idea that something's coming about, you know, a way of trying to talk to us. What do you guys think about that?
Hmm.
Well, sci-fi movies and sci-fi TV programs have been around since the inception of radio and television.
Sure.
Number one, it makes money. People love to, you know, hear and read about these things. I don't think it's so much that they're trying to ease us into the possibility that God was a star trawler as it is to make money and continue to be, you know, the God that we all worship on this earth, money. You know, the old saying, in God we trust, but everybody else pays cash. So, I mean, you're preaching to the converted. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that, in fact, if ever I felt secure in my psychic knowledge that we were visited by extraterrestrial God who created us, or the gods, even the Bhagavad Gita in the Hindu religions, and they talk about these flying carpets and gods, and also nuclear bombs they gave them as secret weapons and said don't use it because if you let loose it'll be impossible to stop, and you read about the destruction of the ancient Indian cities and so on 10,000 years ago. You have to know that, again, this was another case of Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know, we're almost at the break, but I do want to ask you real quickly, Anthony, your two main books.
You can ask me slowly if you want.
Sure, slowly. Stargazer still available to people?
It is. It's in the, you know, if people still go to bookstores, it's in the bookstores.
Well, they get bookstores, Amazon, they've got it all too. We're going to come back. We'll take some final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Final segment just ahead with the psychic Anthony Carr and your phone calls. Hey, by the way, have you watched our television show Beyond Belief yet? You can. 10 days for free. That's right. That means for free. No cost to you. Simply go to beyondbelief.com and sign up to watch it. You'll enjoy it. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got Anthony Carr with us. We've got you. And let's go right to the phones. We've got Lisa in Nantucket, Massachusetts. Hello, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
I I actually have three questions I want to ask, so I know I just have to limit myself to one. So,
yeah, one. You give us your best one, and Anthony's standing by here for you.
Hit us with your best shot.
Well, I guess
singing psychic.
I was wondering about this Grand Cardinal Cross. I know I've been hearing you, and you obviously are an astrologer too. So, I was wondering, it's supposed to
you mean the Grand Cross between was it Pluto, Uranus?
It's supposed to be Judgment Day or something like that.
Oh, that's the 23rd. I think it culminates, or yeah, it's the most exact coming up on the 23rd.
Well, whenever you have Neptune or Uranus, you know, Neptune rules water. And don't forget, Neptune is in its own sign for the first time in 175 years. It's in Pisces, which makes Pisceans highly psychic and creative and subconsciously dreams from the past and on the world. And then it's in opposition and part of the square with Uranus, fire. So you're getting, volcano activity underwater, volcano tsunamis, all of these things are reaching the culmination point. It's almost the human race is no different from nature than the rest of the animate and inanimate objects. They all are subject to the conflagrations of nature, of the forces of nature. This is why we're building up to this World War III and then the fighting. And again, it's mainly because even though we have a fairly comfortable life over here, I mean, two-thirds of the world are starving. Two-thirds is starving.
Yeah,
two-thirds. I never know whether
huge.
That's plural or singular. Two-thirds are starving and sick and ill people will not lie down and just take it. They'll stand up and then fight for survival and take whatever you have. And this is why... and again, with Neptune in Pisces, the humanitarian aspect of it is to do for others. Helping people to eat and to have the basic creature comforts will stop them from rising up, as in the French Revolution, for instance. And I guess to put it to a certain degree, the American War of Independence, 1776, where the British were in control and were taking too much of everything, so of course Americans rose up and said, take your tea and shove it, so to speak. and this is what's happening in the world. If we help the less fortunate, if we feed them, if we take care of them, and so on, then you won't have the aggression that we've had during the last two world wars, if that's possible. And we're becoming overpopulated, so it's just the natural aspect of astrology when these formations come in squares, oppositions, that it's kind of a cleansing process that the universe entails to clean out the world and start all over again. That's basically what, and there's nothing we can do to avoid it. Planets like Pluto, which is death and resurrection, and I'm under such an aspect myself, and it's inexorable. There's no use trying to avoid these aspects. Every astrological aspect has to be satisfied, whether it's on a personal level or a world level or even a universal level, and it's not much. It's the way, it's the yin and yang of all life and creation. You can't have love without hate. You can't have passive energy without aggressive energy, or else nothing would cease to exist.
And those who need to know what the Grand Cross is, it's when four planets that are separated each other by a square. It looks like a T-square, basically.
That's right, a T-square. That's right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
As a psychic, as a palmist, and a tarot reader, and so on, I would refer you again to Robert Armstrong, who... he's probably forgotten more about astrology than I've ever known, and he does have a website there somewhere. I wish I had it with me at the moment. But, he lived in a cave in India for 2.5 years, and he is really the expert on progress charts and the planets, the T-squares, and all of the ramifications that astrology entails. beyond the simple astrology that most pop astrologers know, and that's the stuff you read in the newspapers. You know, that's only based on where the sun is each month or the moon is each day. So, and you don't forget you have 9 other planets in your chart to take into consideration as to what your personality is and what the future will hold.
Give us a quick overview before we go back to other calls on how you think 2014 is going to shape up for us, Anthony.
Well, for the next couple of years, I really think that it's like an exploding supernova. I still think things cultural are going to expand, art, music, movies, all of that stuff. We're still climbing that pinnacle of accomplishment before it finally explodes. And nobody can put a time on it exactly. But, you know, I always said I was born during a world war. I probably won't leave until the next world war. So, as they say, at my demise, that will trigger a sign for the quickest countdown to Armageddon that you've ever seen. So I'm 70. It's in your best interest to keep me healthy for as long as you can.
Next up, let's go to Jay in Hamden, Connecticut. Jay, you're on with Anthony Carr.
I'm sorry, America, I meant to say, even though cash is becoming worthless, America still has the strongest dollar and still recognized the world over and will continue to be for the next 7 years at least.
All right, that's a good thing. But go ahead, Jay in Connecticut.
Hi, how you doing, George? Great to talk to you again.
Thank you, Jay.
And my question for Anthony is I'm wondering about the Yellowstone supervolcano and if it's going to erupt in our lifetime.
That's a caldera, Anthony, which explodes
a super volcano.
You got it. And if it goes, we're in deep doo-doo. What do you think?
No, I don't feel, they don't call me Dr. Doom and Gloom for nothing. I thrive on predictions of, in fact, that's my stock and trade. But I don't feel that blowing its top anytime too soon. There will be other things to worry about and consider extraterrestrially before we have to worry about that going up.
Are you concerned about the ETs? Do you think that they are somewhat evil?
Well, you know, if you consider the way we hunt animals and kill them and eat them and so on, who's to say that some of these extra... Don't forget the concept of good and evil, although they're just man-made concepts as opposed to the energies of the universe, aggressive and passive energy. The star travelers, the myth about the Satan, by the way, the whole name of Satan in some of the Book of Enoch is the ancient Book of Enoch, the entire book, and he's only mentioned once in Revelation. He refers to him as Satanael, S-A-T-A-N-A-I-L. And still roams the fathomless abyss of space until he is let loose on the earth again. So the concept of Satan probably, goes back to an evil star traveler who wanted to destroy the inhabitants of this world as opposed to the good star traveler who wants to save it. And to give you an idea of that, if you know anything about the book of, Job. Job was on the threshing room floor with the Lord when Satan came along and they made a deal with each other. You do anything you want to Job, but don't tell him, you know. And so, of course, you know, he wiped out his family, wiped out his herds, and all these sounds like radiation and lasers from a spacecraft because it came from heaven, the fires and so on. And, of course, you know, Job was whining and crying all through the book of Job and kept his faith in the Lord, who apparently restored everything back to him, but I don't see how he could restore his family back to him. But anyway, I always get a laugh out of the book of, the patience of Job. Well, if you read the book, he had no patience at all. He was whining and crying all through it. Not that I blame him. So I think, to answer your question, sure, there's the evil stuff. We may be just, I don't want to say fodder, but we may be just grist for their slaughterhouse. Some parts of the Bible talk about giving up your first child in the old books. You'll give us your firstborn and so on and so on. Never really does say what they want with the firstborn or what happened to them. You know, for all we know, they could be in the cannibal. We're no more than, we would probably deserve to be no more treated any better than we treat animals.
Well, that's true. Tom's in Port Angeles.
The only thing that would save us is the fact that we're so polluted with what we eat that we'd be rejected no matter what.
Spit us out.
Spit us out, man.
Let's go to Tom in Port Angeles, Washington. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Oh, George, it's so much fun getting on this show. Mr. Carr,
I'm
a little closer to earth here. What do you think of modern nutrition and exercise?
Well, I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to nutrition, I must say, but I've been an exercise advocate my whole life. I was Mr. Dominion of Canada in 1962. It was quite a while ago. This is before steroids, and other than eating good solid food and a balanced diet, I got into the music business just as this anabolic steroids were making their presence known. And a lot of the bodybuilders that I knew from the old days, including Larry Scott, I don't know if you remember him from bodybuilder from way back in the 60s and 70s, all those beach party pictures. And half of them nearly died from too much nutrition, too many steroids. Larry Scott disappeared from the scene for years, and then he appeared back in the muscle books, and he looked like just a shadow of himself. The bodybuilders or the exercise, you know, without any of the enhancers, the vitamins, and you don't know, if you're going to take vitamins, buy them from reputable health food stores.
Sure, none of the junk out there.
You go to these stores, they're not vetted by, health and welfare. You don't know what's in them. But exercise, and I'm 70, and I still work out 4 or 5 days a week, and it seems to be, it supersedes vitamins. Exercise is more important probably even than food. To a point.
You know, one of the things I do, Anthony, is 4 days a week, I do the Royal Canadian Air Force exercise course.
I've heard of that.
It's fantastic. You can do it in your house.
When you're on a break there, you came to my mind's eye for some reason. I saw these things on the sides of your legs, like metal things. Does that make any sense to you?
Metal things on my legs?
Well, not braces, but I don't know if you're using it to exercise. I was going to ask you that, or something to come up the left side of each leg. But they're bright and shiny. I don't know what that is. And also, a woman behind you with streaked blonde hair seems to be important to you, or coming your way.
There's no woman behind me, that's for sure. Let me turn around. Nope, nobody here.
In my mind's eye, though, but I'm not. And I saw her at the same time as I see these things. What do you ski or anything? Or is there any special exercise you do for your legs?
I do a leg exercise. I have a leg exercise machine at home, and silvery. Yeah.
Is it? And yeah. I fell onto this prediction I made 30, 40 years ago. Dead legs shall walk a game. And we were very close to solving the problem of regenerating severed nerve endings and spinal cord injuries. Hence ever my refrain, you know, dead legs shall walk. Again, I prophesied over half a century ago that all of the above medical problems soon would be eradicated. And now, miraculously, through stem cell research, all this is now possible. And wasn't there something in the news last week about an implant into spinal cords of people?
Spinal cords to help them walk. Yep.
And
stem cells and everything else.
We just have to figure out how to remyelinate the nerves to regrow them, I guess, through stem. And you will have people who have been in wheelchairs their whole life. We'll get sorry, I just washed my mouth. I can't do a thing with it. In the not too distant future.
Let's go to Cleveland. Donna's with us, first time caller. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Anthony. I'm thrilled to get through, George.
I'm going to start humming, eh? I had a girl, Donna, with me.
That was a great song, by the way, Anthony.
The first song, the band The Marquees made me sing, and I was petrified.
Anyways, let's get her in here before the time gets us. Go ahead, Donna.
Okay. What I was wondering is if Anthony felt anything or saw anything concerning the cattle grazing in Nevada and the situation with the government.
All right. I don't know if you've been following that story. Have you, Anthony, at all? The Bureau of Land Management has been wanting to take over cattle, get it out from a rancher up there who they say is not paying his fees, and so they want him out. I don't know if you've been watching that, but it had been a sticky situation. It's calmed down somewhat.
Why is he not paying his fees, and what fees are these?
Well, it's been a 20-year dispute, and he's not paying the fees for the use of the land or something like that. It's a mess.
Well, I see being arbitrated by a woman, and I see a reversal of fortune for him, so I would say this thing is coming to an end abruptly. In fact, probably over the next 3-4 weeks, you'll hear news about this.
Let's get another call. We have Walter in Riverside, California. Walter, go ahead.
Hey, George. Good to hear your show. I'm so, like, beyond belief that I can even get on as many times as I have.
Beyond belief.
That's our show.
Yeah, I got on with Alex Jones. I goosed you about the Seattle being a better team when in the Super Bowl.
But you may be right there.
My question for your guest, Anthony, is in the regards to the Book of Revelation, which bowl or trumpet or seal do you believe that we're in?
We kind of caught you there, Anthony.
You caught me there. I wouldn't. Would the fourth seal make any sense?
Or so would the fifth or the seventh.
What is the fourth?
No, I don't know. I can't remember them all, but I can get it for you. But we'll probably be off the air by that time.
Since you caught me off. Don't forget, your producer called me like 2 hours before the show. Anyway, I'm not really not certain, to be honest. But we're somewhere being. If you're looking at a ruler, a 36-inch ruler, we're somewhere like 2/3 along there. So it'd be what, four or five. That's right.
The fourth seal reveals an ashen horse and rider coming on the scene. I wonder what that means.
And I just turned over the tarot card here. And what do you think came up? The 13th card. Death on a horse.
See? Something's happening.
Death on a horse.
Hey, Anthony, let's keep in touch. Good luck. And look, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing an event in Toronto. So we should be in touch, okay? Anthony Carr, up next. Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.